Hey guys, this is Greg, and before we start the podcast, I want to give a quick shout out to a couple of our sponsors. First off, there's CSS, Centralized Showing Service. Everybody knows these guys. They've been around since 1996. CSS has a great solution to provide agents with a quick, courteous, and accurate way to schedule their showings. Kevin Hughes joined the company last year and is making some big moves and some cool hires. Recently, they announced a partnership with CoreLogic that will give agents a way to quickly access scheduling information. They can also book and cancel and reschedule showings online, deliver and receive automated showing notifications by email and text messaging, edit listing information, collect and share feedback, a whole bunch of stuff. This is all integrated with Matrix via their SSO, so big thanks to them, and check them out at showings.com. And I'd also like to thank CoreLogic. CoreLogic is the makers of Organized Real Estate's most used MLS system, Matrix. They recently announced Trestle, which is basically a marketplace for listings. So if you're a broker, Trestle helps you manage listings better, your listings better. If you're a technology provider, you can use Trestle to aggregate listings for your app, so you don't have that expense anymore. If you're an MLS, Trestle helps you manage all your data relationships. Recently, they announced Trestle achieved Rezo Platinum certification, so that's fantastic. Check out the show notes for links to both these products. Also, if our listeners are interested in sponsoring the Industry Relations Podcast, please drop me a line at gregroberson@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. And now, on with the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to yet another special episode of Industry Relations with Rob Hahn and Greg Robertson. This is Rob. And Greg?
Hola, Rob.
Hola, Greg. And anyway, we are still here in the lobby of the CMLS 2017, and we've kept over a special guest who will be introduced shortly so that we can continue a conversation on an important topic, at least for the MLS industry. Greg?
So we have here with us Sam DeBoard of Cole Banker Danforth out of Seattle, Washington. Hi.
Ecstatic to be here for now.
You're so glad you decided to stay on.
Right? I'm regretting it already.
I think the question was...
Yeah, what I wanted to kind of explore today, because it is a topic that's coming up, something you've written about, has been written about, the whole concept of MLS of choice. Why don't you start off by telling the listeners like what MLS of choice is, maybe some history about it, why it's good for the industry, and why it might be bad for the industry.
Sure.
Or maybe I could do that. Maybe I could.
I think that's the part you'll do. This has basically come to us from brokers expressing some of their pain points. So we get letters from brokers around the country who are realtor members.
Who is we?
Sorry, thank you for asking. So the MLS Policy Committee has a smaller advisory board. It's called the MLS Technology and Emerging Issues Advisory Board. It's a very long name. It's got around 15 folks who are most of them MLS leadership, MLS execs, and then some broker and realtor member agent folks who are on this advisory board. So we'll analyze new technology, new emerging issues that are happening within the MLS side of the industry. And we receive letters from individual brokers, from groups like Leading RE, just different folks who are constituents of the MLS and the realtor membership, talking to us about issues they're having, things we should promote, things we should work on. And so in this case, we've received a number of letters over the past year or so about MLS choice. And the background here is, some brokers are required to pay for every agent in their office as subscribers to an MLS in situations where maybe that office doesn't want to use that MLS or those agents don't want to use that MLS based on some traditional jurisdictional rules that associations had. They could charge a broker for all the members in an office that's in town A because that broker happened to also have an office in town B. Without getting down into the weeds, it's a cost prohibitive thing to some brokers that don't want those services. More than that, there are brokers who have new and traditional business models who would like to be able to join multiple MLSs and have 10 of their agents who work in town A be an MLS A and 20 of their agents who work in MLS B work and subscribe to that MLS, and maybe 100 of their agents work in MLS C and also MLS B. And everyone's willing to pay those subscriber dues to whichever MLS their broker is a member of and they want to use, but that brokerage doesn't want to be charged 300 subscriber fees in MLSs. So it's really, we're looking at a policy proposal that'll give brokers that flexibility to be able to choose which offices subscribe to which MLS and which agents subscribe to which MLS as long as the broker is a member, and to pay for those services, but not be hindered by rules that make them pay for services that they don't want to use.
Right. So do you think that some MLSs have unfairly been able to generate dues from agents because of this policy that is kind of maybe even bolstering those MLSs that shouldn't even be around?
I think that it's a policy that was in place when we were using listing books. And listing books being shared was very difficult to control. And it's understandable that MLS has said, as soon as we give one of these agents in the office the book, they're all going to use it. And we need a policy in place to say, look, everybody's going to be using an MLS. Let's just charge everyone. Our idea is not to take away agents' need to use the MLS or say agents shouldn't pay for MLS services. We just think if a broker wants to be a member of that MLS, the agents who want to use that MLS should. They should pick an MLS. They should be working within the MLS community. It's good for consumers. It's good for the industry. But they shouldn't be forced to pay for MLSs which they won't use.
Why is this controversial in any way?
That's a great question, Rob. So what I like to do with kind of issues like this is I like to like extrapolate all the way to the good side and then all the way how it could be used in a bad way. So what do you think is like unintended consequence? Can you see this type of thing affecting, this policy affecting things?
Sure. So, I mean, there are those in terms of NAR and our relationship with MLSs. And then there are terms of things with brokers and agents on the ground. So we just had a nice argument back and forth with my friend Bill Lublin about philosophically, is this the thing for NAR to do? We're tasked with writing policy and updating policy and keeping policy modernized so that the MLS is servicing members and agents. But some folks would say, you know, NAR shouldn't tell MLSs what to do in this case. They should have their own governance, their own model. There are a lot of MLSs that do this already. They've just said, we can exist on this. We know agents and brokers like our services. They want our services. They'll be happy to pay for them. So they'll give a waiver to agents who are using another MLS. But we also have brokers who come to us and say, this MLS is getting a lot of money from me and I'm not getting a benefit out of it. So there are really mostly intended consequences. People like to talk about unintended consequences of this. There will certainly be more brokers in more MLSs. A broker can join three MLSs, four MLSs. The agents can only be subscribing to the ones they want to use. Because of that, there's less cost for brokers to participate in more MLSs, for there to be more cooperation and compensation across MLS service areas, which is frankly great for consumers. It's great for the industry. You've got more exposure for listings, more exposure for sellers.
I'm going to get there.
This is a good thing. So it's giving agents flexibility to work for the brokerage they want to work for. You may have a great brokerage service platform in a town that's a little bit further away that's in a different MLS, and that broker can't join your local MLS because it's going to cost them too much because they've got 150 other agents. Well, in this case now, that broker can join your MLS and bring you on one or two agents in this area. And you, as an agent, get to pick the best brokerage platform and the best MLS for you because of that flexibility.
Okay, so let me, I'm going to go Rob Hahn conspiracy theory
I love it.
On you.
Let's
right?
do it.
We're going to have some weird music.
This
here.
Will be fun.
Boo! Scuttlebutt, right? Lobby bar talk.
Yes.
I'm hearing a lot this past few days. I've been here since Monday. And some of the things that I'm hearing from the MLS community, right? People I talk to, is that you have to watch out for NAR. That's the company that's compensating you, right?
Heavily.
You have to watch out.
This
for
is a long
guys.
Running joke, by the way.
You have to watch out for these guys because these innocent policies, like they've even got Rob's like, I don't even, Greg, why are we even talking about this? This is like a no brainer. They've lulled Rob Hahn into like a slumber here. Okay.
That's
but they're not fooling everybody. Okay.
Okay.
And again,
what is
I'm
the
not,
evil
hold,
that
hold on,
this
okay,
way
I'm
comes?
I'm getting there. I'm the messenger here. I'm just saying I've been hearing talk from some MLS colleagues. And that talk is like, you can't look at what NAR, this is not just a simple policy change. They're painting this as something. There's something other than what it is behind this. And this has to do with this long kind of fear from the MLS community of NAR getting into, quote unquote, the MLS business. And this MLS of choice really can help them achieve that goal of NAR becoming an MLS. What do you say to that?
Yeah, you better say something to that because I'm a
NAR, RPR, upstream national MLS. Can we say that three times in a row and just
and
get that out of the way? Yes. There are folks who obviously have concerns about NAR's role in policy. I just don't know how we get down the road to national MLS from what we're talking about now. We're freeing up brokers and agents to do better business with more MLSs. And if that creates more competition, so be it. That's great for the marketplace. It's great when brokers compete, when agents compete. I don't know how to go down that conspiracy rabbit hole without giving credence to things that, frankly, have never been brought up to me until I came to my first CMLS this week. And maybe that means I'm a bit naive, but I would love for you to add some credibility to those arguments.
You know, I'm asking questions.
Sure.
I mean, people are asking me questions. I'm asking questions.
Right.
You can't, I've been to more than this, this is not my first CMLS.
Can you kind of knit this into something?
No, I'm really good at the paranoid, you know, doomsday scenarios, but this one I'm failing to understand. The RPR upstream thing, that was easy. That's an easy step. MLS a choice? Like, so I don't have to pay for my agents that don't use your MLS? Like, how that leads to NAR? I don't get it, man. And like I said, I'm pretty good at putting those sort of doomsday conspiracy scenarios together. You're going to have to do it for me. You're going to have to connect the dots on this one for me.
This is the great thing about...
I ran down a down escalator for you.
We have an RPR representative here that maybe can kind of clear up who's
maybe
just
you should start by introducing him.
I would never refute anything Rob said.
Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Jeff Young, Chief of Operations for RPR.
Oh, this is awesome.
Walking down an alley with a blindfold on my head.
Thanks, Jeff. Really, so the conversation here is about MLS of choice, right? And this is a policy that Sam was describing that's going to help brokers who don't have to like force their agents
help
to
help brokers not overpay for shit they're not using.
Well, okay, sure.
Right?
Okay. Now, you're no stranger to the crazy conspiracy world that is the MLS business sometimes, right? One of the things that I've been hearing in the hallways and the lobby bars of this conference is, this is so beautiful, man. I'm sorry for you, Jeff. Yeah. You're such a great sport.
Yeah, keep in mind, I have no idea they were talking about.
Yeah. That some MLSs have expressed concern that this MLS of choice thing is just a front for RPR to become the national MLS.
Yeah,
does that make any sense?
How do you connect those dots?
And I'm pretty good at connecting those
dots. You don't connect those dots. I said there's a lot of what I bring to the table in terms of opinion that comes from 13 plus years of being a broker and an agent, which I did longer than I've been working for RPR. I'm not sure what a national MLS means. That sounds like I'm being flippant when I say that, but I hear the term, I understand the concern, but I don't know what it means. And a lot of it is sort of organization and infrastructure would it take to try and do something like that. The convening power, the meeting of the minds is huge. And so this idea that by working on specific policies, which should be all about the healthy marketplace and business of MLSs and how brokers and agents interact with it for their listings, that somehow policies organically create something that nobody wants, I don't get that in the beginning. Then to try and connect RPR to it, who relies specifically on individual contracts with 661 of the current 694 MLSs that expressly outline what that relationship is, what the licensing of the data is, and include the prohibition of doing MLS services within their market area, it means that your contract in and of itself ensures that the thing that you're afraid of is what can't happen.
So it's almost
the best way I can explain it.
No, that's great.
There is no better insurance policy that what you want will never happen than your contract with RPR because it expresses what the nature of the relationship
Jeff,
is.
Here's the thing. Like, I'm really good at spinning conspiracy theories, and I've spun a few with RPR and upstream in the past, but those make sense. They're like logical progressions. This one, you're going to have to connect the dots.
Okay,
Greg.
But let me ask you a question. Have you heard this kind of talk before, or is this something like brand new, like I've never heard MLS?
Have I heard the national MLS?
No, of course you've heard that. But right. that this specific topic of MLS of choice is somehow related to RPR and the national MLS. Have you heard anybody talk about this?
I had not.
So okay. I'm really just getting these guys.
Gray's got so many little birdies out there.
Yeah.
See, if CMLS were happening in, like, say, Denver or in Seattle where pot is legal, I would totally understand where this comes from. But Austin, it's not yet legal.
Austin's
so
weird, man.
It is weird. Yeah. So I'll grant you that. I mean, maybe it's just a term. You see, maybe the problem here is a PR and marketing problem. The fact that you guys called it MLS of choice instead of
Let's not
get ripped off by multiple MLSs. I mean, MLS of choice sounds like association of choice, which then implies more competition between MLSs.
Yeah, you know, that's
you're absolutely right. And we were actually very specific in not calling it MLS of choice. That was a term coined by a media outlet, which is very easy to attach to. It's very easy to relate to after Board of Choice. Totally understandable.
Who coined that term?
I believe Inman was the first one to come out with that.
See, then Inman did a bad job because they should have just called it National MLS.
What is it actually? What's the formal name of it?
It's Proposal of Changes to MLS Policy 7.42 and 7.43. Very sexy. Yeah. No, but it's understandable. But a lot of folks have asked us, you know, it's the same as Board of Choice. It's not. It's significantly different.
So I don't sound too crazy town.
Sure.
There is some confusion here. Maybe you can see that there's a leap of people thinking of Association of Choice to Board of Choice to National MLS. No?
Only if they haven't read. Only if they have not taken the time to read.
People never do that.
They don't. They don't. I agree with you. I've seen people opening up packets at the beginning of committee meetings. It happens sometimes. But if people take the time to read about it, they'll realize it's just greater flexibility for brokers and agents in their MLS marketplaces.
So, Jeff, to me, what's happening here is it's going to be like a contest. What is the longest rumor going to be? RPR becoming a national MLS or Zillow becoming a broker? Because
Zillow becoming an MLS one too.
Yes,
that's a good one.
RPR relies upon its contractual relationships with the MLS. It's the only reason it has MLS data in the database. And so it's so black and white to us or anyone that's read a license agreement that the granting of that MLS data to repurpose it back within the RPR application for those subscriber participants of that MLS and their decisions to open that up through permissions with other MLSs or to other realtors on an active side is the very simple only experience between the MLS data and the agents,
right?
So you can't do something beyond that.
No, this, I don't know how, I don't even know understand how RPR.
And if Rob can't think of it, I would say
that exactly.
For someone else to come up with something fantastic, they're out there.
No, I hear you, Greg. But let me ask you this, right? So what is the worst case scenario after this MLS of choice, which is really badly named, right?
By Inman News, not you.
Right, by Inman News. So basically what we're saying is potentially some MLSs are going to lose a bunch of revenue, right?
Correct.
Because the brokers are going to say, you know, I'm only going to pay for the 5 agents who use you as opposed to the 3,000 that don't use your shit. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
No. That's not what we're talking about.
What are we talking
this
about?
This could happen. There's a scenario that could happen.
I don't even understand that.
This is a which MLS, not if MLS. The only requirement for the MLS is to give waivers to agents to not pay subscriber fees is if those agents show that they're already a subscriber to another MLS. And this is what a lot of the confusion is.
Got it. Okay.
So the agents still need to be a subscriber to an MLS or many MLSs.
Fine.
They don't get none. So subscriber count could go down in some areas, but it could also go up because more brokers will join more MLSs that they weren't able to join.
But
in the
really, the downside here is in a scenario, you might have one major MLS.
Okay? Sure.
With, you know, lots of service and lots of products and great shit.
Right.
And then there are 3 neighboring MLSs that have 200 members and have bullshit and they have nothing. Right now, they're using this antiquated rule to say, hey, if you have...
It keeps them alive a little bit, right?
If you're a participant, if you're a participant in our MLS, every single one of your salespersons must then be a subscriber to our MLS. That's what we're talking about, right?
Sure.
So what we're saying is after this changes...
Or another MLS. Yes.
Yeah, so that broker, so that's great. Most of my agents belong to this other great MLS that's next door.
Right.
Only 5 of my agents belong to you, piece of shit MLS. So therefore, we're going to get rid of that. I mean, that's what we're talking about. So really, the danger is to those MLSs, Greg, that are going to lose a bunch of subscribers
Right?
I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Potentially MLSs that subscribers don't find value in the services that they're paying for.
Isn't this something CMLS should then get behind and endorse?
I think they are.
Doesn't this drive consolidation?
So they didn't specifically endorse, but they did a white paper on the issue. They interviewed a lot of memberships. They talked about a few different positions that could be taken. They didn't take a position necessarily, but the folks that I've talked through, Cove folks, through CMLS, et cetera, there's not a lot of pushback there. I certainly don't know what all of the feedback is from the 500 MLSs who are not here at CMLS right now. But we've spent a year asking for feedback at NAR. CMLS asked for feedback. So there's been a lot of time to get feedback, and the vast majority has been positive.
Yeah. Speak from a broker side. As we built out our offices and expanded area, we would run into a reason to join another neighboring MLS on the broker's side. We only did it because we had agents that were working that market area and saw value in it. So I get the difference in service level. It's not something, I mean, that's why we provide RPR so that we can, you know, enhance MLSs that don't have the same resources to build out their data complement or their technology so that there's a more of a level ability amongst realtors so that the difference in your MLSs doesn't impact your business or the consumer doesn't see a big difference. But when we were looking at being members of another MLS, we did it because our agents told us this is a market area where I have the ability to do business.
Right.
Now, after that, everything I've read in the motions makes sense from a broker side to me, you know? But yeah.
I guess I'm saying it makes sense from the MLS side as well, unless you're one of those crappy MLS that are going to lose a bunch of subscribers. Like if you literally have to keep subscribers by forcing them, like those are not members, they're not subscribers, they're like, they're hostages. So if that's what we're talking about, this, I don't know how this is.
Well, and I think there's
controversial.
It's a valid concern if you don't know what the outcome is. It's a valid concern. It doesn't mean that you should be against it, but it's a valid concern for an MLS to say, what's this going to do to our subscribership? And I don't think we can just push that away. But I don't think we see any scenarios where an MLS is providing great services that the agents like is going to have an issue with headcount. And we've talked about cheaters. There's always cheaters. There's always people who are going to try to skirt the system. That's happened before. It'll happen again. But there's software available that MLSs can use if they so need. Now, is it expensive? Possibly, depending on the size of your MLS. And there are ways that MLSs will have to do compliance to make sure that these folks they're giving waivers to really are subscribers to another MLS. But the philosophy is not letting perfect be the enemy of really good. And this is a really good improvement for the MLS industry as a whole in terms of improving that service-based value. Maybe some MLSs it might not be, but for the industry as a whole, it is. It wants to put people in participation in the MLS. It makes agents and brokers have more opportunity to work within the MLS and not be the folks who are saying it's too expensive for me to be a part of that MLS. I'm going to do my business off MLS.
All right. So again, I'm just a messenger. Maybe the naming convention or whatever else, they thought it was a Trojan horse of some type, this policy.
Right.
I think, you know, this discussion has, I think, helped out a lot for me, at least, also to understand a bit more. Just so you know, there is some confusion still out there. So I think we have to kind of recognize that. Thank you for joining here, Jeff. See what happens when you walk around the lobby here? But thanks a lot. Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, my pleasure. I can guarantee you MLS policy is worked on, created and initiated with absolutely no connection to RPR. It's independent. Sam, you'll speak to that.
Absolutely. And not just that. We like this feedback. Greg's crazy ideas need to be set out.
They're not my ideas.
They come out in the hallways and at the bar. And it's important. We still need to have these discussions because, frankly, we'll have people around the table here who might not know some of the intricacies about agents needing to be a subscriber to one MLS. It's not coming off MLS altogether. So people should keep, you know, shooting bullets at it until we get to there in November so we all know we've had the full conversation.
Well, thank you very much, Sam. Thanks, Jeff. And thanks. This has been another edition of Industry Relations. Make it a good day. Bye, guys.
Always fun.